the Center for Effective Government as well, and in conjunction with the Institute for Policy Studies, they released a new report that shines the light on 26 corporate giants, 26 companies that have the most profits stashed in offshore tax havens. In other words, they find a way to not pay their taxes. The report also looks at how the infrastructure repairs and modernization that the U.S. desperately needs, talking about railroads, roads, and other parts of the infrastructure of the United States, could be funded if those corporations paid the taxes that they owe. The report that just came out is especially timely, considering that congressional proposals are kind of being floated around right now to create a corporate tax holiday, supposedly to tax these corporations at least temporarily to pay for some of this infrastructure. But the co-authors of this report say that doesn't go far enough, and it's clearly we need to really kind of look at the system in general. And joining us right now to talk about this form of tax dodging that we very rarely hear about is Scott Klinger, one of the co-authors of the report. He's the director of revenue and spending policies at the Center for Effective Government. Scott, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure. Good morning, Mario and Michael.
I'm not sure if I summarized it well enough, but the report is called Burning Our Bridges, the subtitle Cutting Offshore Tax Rates Won't Fund Our Infrastructure or Create Jobs, Taxing Corporations Fairly Will. Could you give us a thumbnail sketch of the report's findings?
Sure, you did a great job. So there's $2.1 trillion offshore. The companies have managed to use loopholes in the tax code to take their U.S. profits and, through paper transactions, shift them to offshore, in many cases to tax haven nations where they have nothing more than a post office box, not even any employees or any physical office, just a post office box to receive legal letters that they get related to their business. This number has grown by fourfold over the last 10 years when the last tax holiday happened. So Congress made an ill-fated move that they said was going to create jobs in 2004 and with the American Job Creation Act, which not only didn't create any jobs but cost 600,000 jobs among the firms that took this tax break 10 years ago. And Congress didn't learn its lesson from that, and now several in Congress are proposing that we try that experiment again to get some of this, some of the taxes on this $2.1 trillion back into the U.S. to repair our infrastructure. We think it's an ill-fated strategy. It gives a huge tax break and a reward to the companies that have gamed the system. And as you said, there's just 26 companies that have more than half, actually 60%, $1.3 trillion of this $2.1 billion. So it's not when people hear about it, they shouldn't think, oh, corporations need a break. Corporations don't need a break, but B, even if they did, just giving 26 of the 5 million businesses in this country a tax break doesn't make much sense.
I want to get into the justification as to why this is actually allowed to begin with, but could you name some names, the 26 firms?
Sure. The biggest on the list is Apple. They have
no surprise there, I guess.
$57 billion offshore, and it's been growing very fast. General Electric's second, Microsoft is third, Pfizer's fourth. Other names on the list would include Pepsi and Chevron, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs. So very household names, and I think anyone who's listening would know of most all of them.
Right, you have it all in the report. So what's the justification for this? I guess it's to allow for innovation and future investment. What's the rationale to allow $2.1 trillion in profits to be stashed offshore where the U.S., you know, the U.S. economy can't even see it?
Well, there's actually a bunch of rules that have changed over time. And as often the case, policy is made with good intentions and then later ends up being abused or corporations figure out ways around it. So this policy that allows this is actually very old. It pretty much dates to the beginning of the corporate tax code in the early 1900s. Congress at that time thought it was a good idea to support businesses that wanted to expand overseas, to build new factories in Europe or other parts of the world, because they knew that that would create export jobs for Americans. And that made good sense for a long time until companies figured out, well, they didn't really need to make anything overseas. They could just do these paper transactions in which they register a patent or a trademark in a little island nation. And every time they use that patent or that intellectual property, they charge a big fee for it. So when you buy an iPhone and pay whatever you pay for an iPhone, most of the cost of that sale is booked in Ireland, where Apple has its subsidiaries, and they charge You know, for the use of the Apple name, the Apple logo, the technology, all that sort of stuff, even though very little happens in Ireland other than receiving a big payment and not paying very much in taxes.
Scott Klinger, let me ask you this. Have state and local governments, have they spoken out about this? I mean, have they asked or demanded that these loopholes be closed so that their bridges in their states and in local municipalities can be shorn up and roads be fixed? Have they spoken out about this yet?
That's a really important question, and one that doesn't get asked nearly enough. When you're absolutely right, when companies hide this money under federal taxes or avoid this money under federal taxes, it also has a state impact, since the number you start with on your state return is usually the income number that you report to the federal government. A few countries or a few states are starting to address this. U.S. PIRG, the big consumer group and student group, is starting to address this with some state legislatures, and we're starting to see some considering making companies put some of this offshore money back into their state income levels. But yes, they are complaining a lot. We have a chart in the report that shows that federal and state spending together on infrastructure has fallen by about a third over the last couple of decades. We have this growing demand for needs to fix things, and we're actually spending a whole lot less.
So I want to talk a little bit about now specifically how much money is needed and how this could support and this at least a fraction of that $2.1 trillion be used to develop and work on the nation's infrastructure. Could you outline that a little bit?
Sure. So the math is that there's $2.1 trillion offshore, and companies owe more than $500 billion in taxes on that. They have the right to put that off into the future. So it's all legal. We're not talking about anything that's illegal here. The need for infrastructure, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers, which is the group that studies this, is $3.6 trillion over the next 10 years or so. So even if we got back all that $500 billion, we'd still have a big gap that we needed to fill. And we're talking about infrastructure. We're not just talking about roads and bridges. We're talking about sewer systems, school buildings, dams, levees. There's a whole range of physical infrastructure in this country, and it's all deteriorating.
It's amazing. You're right here. This is from the executive summary. If just two major oil companies, ExxonMobil and Chevron, were to pay the taxes they owe on their offshore profits, it could cover nearly a quarter of the cost of repairing all the country's levees. This is infrastructure, of course, critical for responding to the more volatile and extreme weather we're now experiencing. It also says, you point out, closing the offshore tax dodging loophole for all corporations could raise at least $590 billion over the next decade, $90 billion over more every year thereafter. That's a lot of money, but the Congress, given how much money these same 26 corporations provide for these folks to get elected, what's the likelihood of any action being taken on this? Or is there movement to address this?
Well, the only movement to address it is by giving corporations this big tax cut that we just talked about a minute ago. Our hope is in the American people. And we know from polling that the vast majority of American people, if you ask them, do corporations pay their fair share of taxes, the answer is no. Doesn't matter whether they're Republicans, Democrats, Independents, whatever they are, the answer is no. A couple of small business groups did a poll of just small business owners a couple of years ago. The poll was 2-1 Republican in people who self-identified their political affiliation. And in that poll, they asked small business owners, when big businesses dodge their taxes using offshore loopholes, is it a problem for your business? 91% of them said yes. So you don't get much bigger poll numbers than that. So this is a huge issue for the American people. Congress, as you said, is conflicted because a lot of these companies are their donors, and the companies spend a ton of money on lobbyists. You and I don't really have anybody walking the halls of Congress on our behalf, but I can tell you big businesses certainly do. Mm-hmm. So we need to change the story in the American people. We need to have people say, my community needs this money. My, water main broke in front of my house. The bridge I drive over every day is crumbling, and I'm afraid, or it's shut down. Right. I have to take a detour. We have to have people making those connections and demanding that Congress not just avoid this tax holiday, but the real answer is closing the barn door and stopping this money from leaving in the first place. And that's what Congress really needs to do. Yeah.
And when you and your report points out the level, the dramatic drop in infrastructure investment and development in the last 13, 14, 15 years or so, this certainly this century, how it has totally dropped off. And so the argument that taxing these corporations justly would have a dire effect on the economy seems to be counter to the logic that, well, if you invest in infrastructure, you're going to be creating jobs of all sorts that ultimately give back to the economy.
Lots of jobs. So one of the things we suggest is simply closing the barn door and keeping this $90 billion the companies save on their taxes every year by playing this game. If we kept that money in the Treasury and devoted all of it to infrastructure, we'd not only have a whole lot more infrastructure, we'd have almost $1 trillion of new infrastructure over the next decade, but we'd get 1.8 million good jobs out of it that would be sustainable year in and year out, to people to repair the bridges and rebuild the schools and all that sort of stuff.
Well, that's something worth talking about. So anyway, I want to thank you. Again, when I saw the notification of the report, I wanted to have you on. It's definitely relevant, especially as so many of us are preparing our measly earnings and putting in our tax forms for April 15th deadline. I think this is something to draw attention to, and hopefully more people will pay attention to the report and to this issue. Again, the report is called Burning Our Bridges, Cutting Offshore Tax Rates Won't Fund Our Infrastructure or Create Jobs. Taxing Corporations Fairly Will. And it's a collaboration of the Center for Effective Government and the Institute for Policy Studies. We've been speaking with Scott Klinger, who's the Director for Revenue and Spending Policies at the Center for Effective Government. We'll link them to our website on WBAI.org and direct people to the report. But thank you so much, Scott, for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure. I'm really grateful to be on.